Yeah.
So this year is going to be the philosophy of Karbanos. And this year we're going to be doing the Ramban and Torah Hashem Tamima, where he quotes the Ibn Ezra. And we're going to switch over to the version of the Ramban. In Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes, we also go through the same kind of thing in the Ibn Ezra. It's much shorter there, but I think it's a clear presentation of Ibn Ezra's position, which Ramban likes. Ramban himself has his own explanation for Karbanos, which we're not going to do, because I don't understand it. And then hopefully, and then there's a very famous machlokas. The Ramban rejects the Rambam, attacks the Rambam very strongly. And now about Karbanos.
No, whether it still exists or not?
No, everybody holds it's going to exist most of Mashiach, Karbanos. But he rejects the Rambam's reason. The Rambam gives him the Mor Nevuchim, the Tamei Mitzvos of Karbanos. So he really rips into him and attacks him. So next week we'll do that, Ramban's attack on the Rambam, and try to defend the Rambam, how the Rambam would understand the idea, philosophy of Karbanos. But this week we're going to focus on basically the Ramban's presentation and his explanation of the Ibn Ezra's reason. Okay? So the main source is going to be Torah Hashem Tamima. If you have the Hebrew version of Masada of Cook, it's the first volume. It's page Kuf Samach Gimel. And then in an English version, it's page 98. Okay. So it's the Ohr HaTorah Me'ir HaSeinayim. So it's in Torah Hashem Tamima that the Ramban goes through trying to explain like how wonderful the Torah is and how it opens our eyes to all these great areas. And this is his little section on Karbanos. Okay. Shadiel anu inyan nistar ve'ino miskabo b'iyan. So there's so basically Torah teaches us a secret area, which you philosophically would not come to on your own. Okay. Or I shouldn't say that. It's philosophically at first glance, you don't really accept it. It sounds strange. V'hu yotzei oto al gadola. But it's an unbelievably beneficial idea. V'hu inyan karbanos. Okay, so that's the idea of sacrifices, karbanos. Ki b'tchios iyan yikshem od. Because when a person initially tries to think through the area of karbanos, he has a great difficulty. Mashakasav Kuzari, right? That's the Sefer Kuzari goes and explains. V'nishar alai lishal. And you have a question. Mashakaris b'karbanos v'chulu. Right, what you read about in karbanos. V'yesh b'ze p'sukim uvarim marachakim to elas karbanos. Menachel Yisbarach, there's many p'sukim, which they distance the benefit of karbanos to God, meaning that the God doesn't really benefit from karbanos. Mashakasav lo zuchecha ochichecha. That God says, I'm not going to criticize you for not bringing me karbanos. What do I care? Right? Listen to God. Keep his mitzvah so that he doesn't need you to bring him karbanos. Because of lo ekach mbesecha par v'gomer, because of ochel basai varim, does he eat the flesh of these, animals v'gomer? Bier ki hu eino lokeach v'lo yachal habasar v'lo yishtedam hapar v'atudim. So it's clear, the Torah is very clear, that God himself, right, doesn't need to eat the flesh and he doesn't drink the blood. Right, on, from these offerings, these sacrifices, right, he's gonna get hungry. Vein lo toelas v'hanabem, and he has no benefit, and he derives no benefit, no gain from all the sacrifices that you give him.
Why does he drink the blood? We don't drink the blood.
Well, the mizbeach, the achilas mizbeach, the mizbeach eats the blood.
Mizbeach eats the blood.
Yes.
They're
so that's
not feeding the mizbeach. It's a ritual, just like any
what?
Other.
What? It's halachically, it's achila. Achilas mizbeach. The mizbeach.
Yeah, let's go back to the
Yikshem. That's halachah. It's the Achilas Mizbeach. Well, the Mizbeach is called the Shulchan Hashem.
Right.
And the Navi calls it that, Shulchan Hashem. So it's God's table, and you're pouring out the wine, the blood, and the flesh you're burning, and somehow that goes up to God. And, I mean, presumably there is a primitive way to look at it, that you're feeding the God.
The primitive way would be that God is consuming the blood.
Right.
Okay, I just want to get the facts straight.
Yeah. Okay. Correct. And certainly, all the Avodah Zarah believed, I would think that somehow feeding the gods and they like it. That's how it works. I mean, you appease the gods and they get happy and they like the sacrifice. Yum, yum, yum. Right, blood. And, it's pretty clear from the Navi that God does not eat the blood or the flesh. Doesn't do that. Okay. Open Sukkim. That theory is out the window, okay? We're not gonna go with that theory. Okay. Vafilu, shahilo hanabahem. Now even if you wanted to maintain, somehow God has a hana, he likes to drink blood, he likes to eat flesh. Ka'adam raiv, rotz lasbiyo nafsha, like he's hungry, okay? Still it's ridiculous. Yachalikach belorshus, kilo teva malo, he can take it on his own, he made the whole universe.
Don't need us to.
Right, why doesn't he just make himself a pints of blood? Pints and pints and pints of blood everywhere. Okay, you can take whatever you want. So it's ridiculous. Okay, we're not going to hold by that theory. Good. But the problem, what are you doing? Why are you giving God something? Right, you're giving him an offering. What are you giving him? What does he need these things for? What are you doing?
Right.
Right, it's a crazy kind of view, right? Crazy kind of thing. What are you doing exactly? Since we see in Karbanos from the Psukim, from Svara, that there's no real benefit or gain to God. So what exactly is the concept? Shematzinu Karban Adam Hasheni Ba'olam, the second person in the world, you find, he brought a Karban, open in the Pasuk, V'hevel Hevi Gamhu, V'gomer, V'ksiv, V'yisha Hashem El Hevel, V'gomer, so Hevel, right, Kayan, but Hevel, Hevel, he's going to get to that. You got the English there, you can see. Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't translate like you're translating.
He doesn't translate, I'm translating? Well, then go with me, okay? So the second person in the world was Hevel. So he brought a Karban, right? He brought from his, I think he brought from the Tzon. I think. I always get that confused. Okay, brought the Tzon. And Vayisha Hashem, God turned to it. He was pleased with it, right? He liked it. Right? So he isn't called Kayin because God didn't turn to Kayin. You could argue that, right? It's not going to be a Raya. God doesn't like the Karban. But you see, Vayisha Hashem El Hevel, right? Hevel Mincha So. No, it's his Mincha. Whatever, I don't
know. No, he brought the sheep and Kayin brought flax. That's the whole Isser of Shatnez and stuff.
I know, but I think it's backwards. I think he brought the Mincha. Whatever. Okay, fine. Doesn't matter. Not the point. The point is the second person in the world, he brought a Karban. Okay. It's going to be relevant. It's whatever. Right? For Besedin, Asnu Karban Adam Arishon, Mipasik Vatitav Lashem Mishor Par. For Adam Arishon, after the Rambam has this, that when he was created, he brought a Karban. And it's the Gemara in, where does he bring it? I forgot where the Gemara is. It's in... whatever. There's a Rashbon that explains it. And when Adam Arishon, when he sinned and he did tshuva, right? So he brought a carbon, a par with one horn, right? A unibull, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, whatever, I don't think. I guess unibull. Okay, so Adam brought a carbon, right? It's not open in the psukim, but Chazal say it. V'noach ikriv carbon, v'kasa v'yarech Hashem, v'gomer, right? Noach brought a carbon after the mabul. Right, with the seven tahor animals, so Noach brings karbanos, and that's Baruch Hashem is, and God smelled the offerings, and that's why he said, I'm not going to destroy Adam because if he smelled the offerings, right? The Avram, the Yitzchak, he kriva karbanos, ubanim izbachos, kamashakas batorah, it's open, Avram and Yitzchak. I don't know why he leaves out Yaakov also, izbichos vachim, but okay. Avram Yitzchak, velozazu chacham ma'ovde makel mihakriv karbanos. And this chain of chachamim that serve God, they never stop bringing karbanos. There's always, every one of them basically, it brings karbanos. Atshuba Torah, v'eskima behem, until the Torah came, right, at a later date, and it agreed with them that that's a really good idea, v'tzivsa, and they commanded to bring karbanos. V'ericha behem yosir mikol mishpatei Torah, and basically it's very extensive, more than anything else in the Torah. You see this, the whole karbanos, kachol kasa b'chol mishpatei yikra. Right, the whole Vayikra is karbanos everywhere, right? So it's more extensive than almost anything else in the whole Torah. It's karbanos, the whole half, the 20% of the Torah is dedicated to karbanos. Good question or no?
What about, didn't he command Noach? Was he said seven of the kind?
Yeah, Noach inferred it. Yeah. Noach inferred it, that it was a good idea. And you could say that was from God telling him to take seven tahor once. You could say that. But still, I mean, that's like a whole, even if you say that, I think Marashi might learn that way, either implicitly, but still, that's different than God commanding it as an ongoing basis, and he permanently made it a part of the system of Torah as a permanent thing forever and ever. Karbanos, even Yom HaMashiach, we're going to have Karbanos. Right? And they use Maskim. Okay. V'lo Sharsa Shechina. But again, I mean, the Ramban, I think, is why he puts, the same reason he puts Hevel before Adam. Right, he seems like he's going in chronological order, but he puts Hevel before Adam because Hevel's open in the Pasuk and Adam is not. Mm. Right, so Noach, the fact that he brought Karbanos, it's not open in the Pasuk that God told him
is
to.
Is this where he's talking to the king of Spain?
Or the Kuzari?
No, the Ramban.
Ramban's writing to you. He's giving a drash and shul. Okay? I think so. Okay. V'lo sharsa shechina b'mishkan al yidei Karbanos. Right, and what brought about the Hashra Shechina, the Shechina resting in the Mishkan? That was, you had to bring Karbanos, the Yom HaShemini, right? Vayibah Yom HaShemini. They brought Karbanos, and that's what brought about the Ashra Shechina.
Rabbi Pesach.
Yeah.
Then he skipped Pesach, no?
He did skip Pesach. We'll let that go.
1 second. How did you get Pesach? What are you talking about?
No, he just said he didn't mention the Karban Pesach.
Oh, because it goes from where to where?
He's in the Torah now. He's in the Mishkan. Yeah, Karban Pesach, throw it in there. Okay, it's footnote.
Should we pay attention to, is he like the Rambam style, like every word that he uses or doesn't?
I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, it depends. If you have a good idea, then yeah, definitely. Yeah, and if you don't, whatever, it's not a big deal. Okay. So Gemara uses that, Vayir Masasachatas, Vayir Kvod Hashem. Right, so that's the tefillah, that's Ritzei, Avoda, because before Modim, Hoda. But you see that the what brought about the Hashras HaShechina, Vayir Kvod Hashem, what brought about is Vayir Masa Zechatas, the Karbanos brought about the Hashras HaShechina. Va'oz, right, Va'oz Sharas HaShechina, Shahaya Zebiyam HaShemini, V'mikan Ve'elach, Kasev, V'lo Yachal Moshe V'gomer, V'chem V'forsh P'tos Kanim. From that point on, Moshe could no longer go into the Mishkan because the Anan had rested there, and the Shechina was there. And the Karbanos is what brought about the Hashras HaShechina in the Mishkan. Lubeis HaMikdash Nami, Ayidei Karban Nivchar, through Lubeis HaMikdash also, through Karbanos, it was chosen. Shenemar, Vayavagad al David, Vayamahu, Vayomer lo, Ale Hakim Lashem Izbech Vigarna Arona, Hayivusi. We had that Nassan told him, go make a Mizbeach in the threshing floor, that where the Makom HaMikdash was chosen to be. Vuxiv, Ayivin Shem David Mizbech Vigomer, Vuxiv, Ayomer David, Zehu Beis Hashem Vigomer, and not only did David build the Mizbeach, and that's what established the Makom HaMikdash, but when Shlomo wanted the Shechina to be shown in the Beis HaMikdash, is through Karbanos, Shenamar, Kechalo Shlomo, Lispala V'Gomer, and when he brought, I think, hundreds and thousands or whatever of Karbanos, that's when he had the Shra Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, good. So the Ramban's extensive, right? It's an extensive list of the fact that Karbanos they predate the Torah. All the Chachmei Hadoros brought Karbanos. The Torah endorses it, and it's critical in bringing about Hashra Shechina. V'chol mi sheyesh einayim lo v'yira b'kasav yod. And whoever has eyes, and he can see sees the Pesukim, he'll admit that the idea of Karbanos, it's an amazing area. Any kind of medicine which you don't understand, you don't understand how it works. When you see the benefit that you get from it, you don't understand how it works, but you see the benefit it brings about, that proves how powerful and how great it is. Okay, it's an interesting methodology point he has here.
Yeah.
So you have something in medicine. I don't know. Well, how does it work? I don't have no clue. But you see how well it works.
Right.
So you don't need to understand methodologically. You don't need to understand how something works to know how that's such an incredible thing. You see its effects.
Yeah.
If it's very effective and it heals you, so then it's amazing. It's very powerful. How it does it, I don't know, but you can see that it's worth investigating.
Right.
Right?
I mean, if something's ridiculous, it sounds ridiculous, and then it doesn't work, you just reject it. Only when it works, should you take the time to investigate.
Right.
Like aspirin. They had aspirin very early.
Right. But so now they know how it works, I think.
Yeah, but then they surely
did. But for a while, they did not know how it works.
For a long while.
Like
but it was amazing. You could take it on Shabbos. Okay, so it's the idea is that we see from Karbanos that there's something special going on by Karbanos. We don't understand how they work, but we see it's an area worth investigating because it's central. It plays a central role in the Torah. And anybody who has, I mean, at this point, if you have eyes and you read the Torah, you see the Torah takes Karbanos very seriously, and it's a central feature of the Torah. It's everywhere in the Torah.
Is the benefit of the medicine that he's referencing the Shechina being brought down?
That's one of the things. Yes, probably. I mean, what's the great good that's coming from it?
Sure.
I think so. I think that's probably what he's referring to. That's what I'm referring to. In addition to the fact that you see everybody's doing it,
It doesn't make sense.
If everybody's doing it, I mean, you don't want to not do it, you know?
That wouldn't be the benefit, though.
That wouldn't be the benefit, no. No, that's just the peer pressure that motivates you to do it.
You don't want to use some peer pressure.
Torah
believes in peer pressure.
600,000 people.
Oh, okay, so the Hashua Shechina, though, was the obvious benefit.
Right, it brings about the Hashua Shechina. I think so. Is there anything
else?
How do they know the Shechina is being Shara?
They didn't see it.
Well, they did. The cloud. The cloud filled the...
Okay.
The fire came down from heaven, ate up all the karbanos.
They fell on their face.
And they sing out praises. And then the cloud filled the Mishkan, and Moshe could no longer go in.
Right.
Something changed.
The fire came down and took the carbon.
And another one of you died mysteriously.
Another one of you. Okay, fine.
And that proves that the Shechina was there.
The Shechina was there, yeah, for sure.
That's how they died.
That's how they died.
That's good point.
Bad burns.
they're having done something wrong was immediately addressed.
Well, they got punished, you mean? Yeah. Because the Shechina was there.
That's what I'm saying.
Correct. The Kavod HaShechina. Kavod HaShechina creates a... much more chamor midas adam. That's for a different time. But okay, so now the Ramban set the stage. He's gone further. Not only is it predates the Torah, and not only is a major focal point of the entire Torah and all the Psukim, and does it play a metaphysical role in bringing about Hashra Shechina, the Aflos Elavo, so it's also in the future world, in Moshe Mashiach, so it's a pasuk in Yecheskel. It's through karbanos, the reich nichoach, right, the pleasant fragrance, that God will be pleased with us because of arvel Hashem. Right, that's what we say every after Shmon Esrei. Arvel Hashem minchas yidarishol an kamer lamuchshin and kamoniot. Right, that the karbanos will be pleasant before God. The karbanos shebesof Yecheskel asalavohim. Right, and the karbanos, right, and Yechezkel wrote about the karbanos that they're going to bring in the third base of Mikdash. So you see karbanos, they make it, they cross the border into Moshe Mashiach, they're going to be critical, right?
What doesn't cross the border?
Everything crosses the border. I don't
know.
Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, right, very good.
What's the big deal?
Maybe Zechis Yis Mitzrayim, you know, maybe that will be overshadowed to a certain degree, I don't know. Pretty much everything, you're right.
That's Tariyah? That's Tariyah?
Whoa, yeah, yes.
All
your mitzvahs. Yes.
Who's doing?
Everybody.
Oh wait, you're talking about Yemos Mashiach?
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking kind of.
No.
Ol Mahaba.
Correct. Well, that's the Rambam's Ol Mahaba. The Ramban's also love Ol Mahaba is this world, right? Mm-hmm. Well, sort of. Next world. Okay. So.
The next this world.
Yeah, the next world. This world, exactly. 2.0, very good. Okay. So it's
seriously, what's the big deal?
It could be he's just showing you that the nevuahs of Yecheskel point to it in terms of establishing that zman. Like it doesn't mention that you're going to take an esrog l'asolavo.
Meaning it's a chiddush that all.
No, it's playing a critical role in the era of Yemos Mashiach and establishing the third base of Mikdash. In that era and that zman, there's specific karbanos that Yecheskel prophesizes about. Those are not the regular karbanos. It's not just saying the karbanos, the carbon tamid that you bring, the carbon musaf that you always bring, you're going to keep doing it, of course, pasha, right? You're going to keep doing mitzvahs. You put mezuzahs up, you do these things, right? But it's a harasha. There are specific karbanos that are different for the third base of Mikdash that Yecheskel talks about that are not in the Torah. So there's going to be a new set of karbanos for that era, for that to initiate that era. That, and you see, it's going to be critical for Yemos Mashiach to begin with this special set of karbanos. So it plays
a... see that it's critical? Based on the fact that the Navi says it?
Based on the fact that the Navi's talking about it, and it's different. There's a...
prophecy, it doesn't mean that it's...
There's a different set of karbanos to begin the third base of Mikdash that the Mashiach is going to bring. Right? And karbanos, you understand, it's not just the mitzvahs that are continuing, but it's a new set.
So who's bringing a new set? How does it prove that it's... important.
What do you mean has to prove that's important? Why would the Navi be telling us about it? Why would they be bringing this whole new set of karbanos if it had no relevance?
Because how else would we know about it?
I don't understand the question.
How else would you know to do it when the time came?
Well, why would you be doing it? Because you're doing it because it's important. Why else are you doing it? Am I missing something?
It's like another new rule, like big whoop.
Well, I mean, it seems like it's an important thing. It plays a very critical role in everything else at this point. And in the Mos Mashiach, bringing the third base of Mikdash, you have a whole new set of karbanos that initiate the process that the Navi nowadays is teaching us about. Apparently it's important for us to know this. And it's going to be important, playing an important role. So it's, he's just showing you all the highlights of karbanos. Another feature is the Mos Mashiach and third base of Mikdash. It's a whole, the karbanos are going to play a critical role over there too.
Right. And it's not a stopgap measure. It's something that's part of...
Permanent.
Yeah, it's,
permanent.
Yeah, it's part of the foundations.
Part of the foundations of the Torah, correct. It's, the Avos did it, Noach, Adam, the Torah, Lasa Lavo, Hashrashchina, Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, Third Bais.
Is it saying it was, isn't always will be?
Yeah, if you want to say...
I
nah.
Think the fact that Mashiach necessarily signifies anything greater.
No, it does. It has to do with Yimus Mashiach. But I mean, he's not going to go into the details, and we don't know. But it definitely, it's you know, it's an important part of that idea also. But, you know, he's just building his case. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's not going to rip the Rambam here. So I don't know, like I said, I don't know if we're going to get to him breaking down the Rambam. That's the fun stuff, you know? Maybe we'll get to that.
What he says first.
Yeah, exactly. But he's setting up the table, okay? The custom, speaking of the tables, the custom is Be'ach, Zashokhan Shefne Hashem. Right, so it's also, I think, in Yechasko. Oh, nope, Malachi. Okay. So it says that they called the Mizbeach, the table that's before God, right? So this, it's a very significant entity. It says, Shochan Lefnei Hashem. Okay. Okay, fine. So that's the question that Ramban's, right, presenting, is that we see these korbanos are essential, they're very important, significant in all facets of the Torah. And yet, we have no idea what they are. We know that you're not benefiting God. Many psukim and svaras indicate that it makes no sense, that he doesn't need your kabanos, he doesn't need your offerings. But like, what exactly are you doing? You wouldn't think through philosophical speculation that you would come to arrive at this type of activity. Right? Right? What would you think you're doing? What is he, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Exactly.
Right?
What?
Right. What's the deal? Okay, fine. So now, okay. So now I'm going to switch over to the Ramban in Vayikra. I like it a little bit better, just that one part. And maybe we'll come back here to fill out the edges.
So taking away from here, we should just recognize how the Ramban stresses the importance and the significance of the korbanos?
Yes. And the problem. Just appreciate the problem. You wanted... Well, the problem is it's a significant problem because it's such a central part of the Torah. And the Torah holds it in such high esteem that it's a little bit for next week. Just the appreciating the problem. He's going to bring the hammer down on the Rambam, you know. But it's to appreciate the problem of how important and significant it is, coupled with the fact that, like, when you think about it, it makes no. What are you doing? It's the combination of the two, that it makes no sense.
That's the point of all this rhetoric.
Right. It makes no sense. There's no, this, you don't have any clue what's the concept. There's nothing you
it
would come
to
on.
It's apikorsis, in fact.
Apikorsis.
It seems theoretical.
Well,
you're bringing food for God.
If he means that without the Torah telling us to do it, and we just invented this thing, it would be nuts.
Which it seems we did.
Right.
that's the main point.
Yeah,
what
people did before the Torah.
Right, but if that's the point, yeah, I think there's some...
That's the point that I was caught up in. It's like, how did we just institute a rule in the Torah because we started doing it?
What do you mean?
How is it like, okay, we're going to put this commandment in the Torah because you see all these people start doing it? Since when did we start putting laws in the Torah?
Oh, we didn't put it. God agreed to them.
Yeah.
It wasn't that they did it. God was like, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I'll,
but that's what it seems like.
He says. Ravon says that God was masking to their concept.
Right.
Oh, there was a second edition to the Torah?
I think you have to ask
a more basic question.
That's up because
along the lines of what Aaron's saying, I think you have to ask a more basic question. Where did they get this from? They must have generated it from their own chachma.
Yeah.
In terms of
wanting
to praise
and
serve Hashem.
Right.
Somehow they had some chachmas that...
Yeah, Adam, I mean, this goes back.
Gave them surah samaisa here.
But does that make it right to just plug it into the Torah samaisa?
No, we're not plugging it in. Yeah.
I mean that God plugged in, like, that doesn't sound...
No, he said, God said, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
that's a really good idea, and I'm going to make a whole book
about
that.
Doesn't seem strange.
No, no, I don't think that God actually did it, but I feel that the purpose of doing that is to say that in reality, Carbonus doesn't have any bases, but from man's perspective, it's an efficient thing.
So from man's reality, it does have a basis.
Right, but
they
from
developed
actual
it.
Reality, so that's why it's saying that when God saw that he did it, hey, this is a good idea. It's not that he's like, oh, I never thought of this before. It's more like, hey, from reality perspective, just a strict din reality, not including raw
question. So the question being asked now is, when Ramban says that they did it, Adam, right, Avram, Yosef, Noach, right, they all did it, and then God was maskim to them, he agreed to them, he incorporated into the Torah. So the question is it because they did it, they set up some sort of idea, and then God would agree to that and he incorporated that into the Torah because they did it. He said that's a good idea to incorporate into it. But had they not done it, then he wouldn't have put Carbonus into the Torah. Like the Carbonus is really fundamentally a man-made concept, right? Which God said is a appropriate concept to incorporate in the Torah, and he used it. But it's fundamentally a man-made concept. Or is it no, there's a philosophical idea that these great Chachamim, Adam, Hevel, Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, right, were able to discover on their own. Adam and Sarah, they passed it down, but there's a philosophical idea. And had they not discovered that idea, when Moshe Rabbeinu came along and gave the Torah, it would have had Carbonos anyway. Because Carbonos are an appropriate philosophical idea, and they would have been incorporated into the Torah anyway, and it just happens to be that they got it first before the Torah because they were able to discover it. Like, for example, they said,
Moses.
No, Yibam, right, by Yehuda. Yehuda and Tamar, there's an idea of Yibam, right, when his sons died, he gave, Tamar, his daughter-in-law to the next son, right, to Lahakim Shashem Hames, right? So there's an idea of Yibam before the Torah. There's a concept of, continuing the progeny, the name of the deceased who did die without children. That was a minhag they had. The Ramban writes about that. They had a minhag in those times. It was a proper idea. And when the Torah came, it made a mitzvah out of it. I guess you could raise the same question over there.
you
can ask
the
funny
Yaakov.
Those
are two weird places.
Okay, fine. I'm thinking
about another one.
You can say that Yaakov was a nice guy, so then the Torah, like...
You don't give my effort like that. Now, Yibam was a bad example because Yibam could raise the same chak here. Okay, but yeah, exactly. Hachnasa Sarachem. Right, Avram did Hachnasa Sarachem. You see that? It's where he used to, right, the guest.
He was Mechadesh that.
Right, but had he not done it, the Torah still would have had the idea of chesed.
Right, because we say that there's an objective truth. He
right,
realized
correct.
That
objective truth.
Objective truth.
Correct.
Yaakov married sisters and were told deliberately not to do that.
Right, therefore what?
Doesn't set a precedent.
Therefore we know it's not an objective truth.
Yes, right. I mean, sometimes it's not right. Sometimes what they did is below the standard that the Torah, right, they did it. Chutzlar, it's okay, fine, you know.
Now, Chutzlar, there's no Am Kodesh.
In Eretz Yisrael, they kept the Torah.
I'm wondering, I have another case.
Ramban holds.
I throw this up on the table with great interpretation. What if Adam and Chava hadn't eaten from the eighth of that
Torah? No. Now we're getting... Now.
great
interpretation. Okay, no, that's a very good question. Is Carbonos, according to Ramban, fundamentally... I mean, the way he's explaining it, the way that line, is it fundamentally... Okay, we can wait this answer, but I like the question.
Yeah.
I think
it's
a good question.
It's a very interesting
question.
No, I agree with the question, but I'm talking about solving it wise.
I mean, well, if you're creating...
Solving it wise. Yeah, but we can appreciate the question.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
If you're thinking into the foundations of a philosophical system,
correct,
it's a very
correct.
Important question.
Correct.
Classic question. Are the mitzvot good because God gave them? Where did God give them?
Right.
No. We're not asking that question.
Is that the same question?
We're not asking that question.
No, close, but yeah.
No. That's a different question. That's a little different. I hear what you're saying. It's like close. It's different.
It's kind of
close. It's saying that it is a good idea, but it had to first be formulated by man before God took it up. Had it not been formulated
right.
by man and it would become
right.
an established custom
for entry into this conversation.
Right, become established as a custom yeah. amongst the Chachmei Hadoros, then God wouldn't have just. You know, God, so to speak, utilized a man-made institution and gave his approval and took off with it and ran with it. You know, really blew it out and made it a central feature and expanded it all over the place. But fundamentally, the construct was made by a man. right? Adam. It does sound like he's saying that. It does sound like he's saying that. But I mean, I don't know if ultimately it's you know, it's a diak. It's a diak in the Ramban. If you like that idea, you go with the diak, and if you don't like it, then I don't know. No, it's a very nice idea. Very nice question. And the other way is to say that no, that it's intrinsically a good idea, and therefore, of course, God would have given in the Torah. It just happened to be they you know, before they get the Torah, they are mechavein to the concept of the mitzvahs of the Torah, of the idea of korbanos. Okay, so let's leave it as a question.
But even according to that side, you have to explain why it says that God realized it was a good idea because he saw him do it. According to the second side, you'd have to explain that.
I don't think so.
According to which side?
The second side.
That
God would have given them to us anyways.
Okay, what do you have to explain?
You'd have to explain why it says that God, they're doing a good idea. You'd have to explain why God says that.
Why he was maskim to it.
Yeah.
You know, then you just say the Lashon of maskim means that he agreed it was a good idea. He endorsed it. Yeah. He endorsed an idea that they were doing anyway. But
this had partook of chachma.
Right, but he would have done it, had they not perceived him, it wouldn't have been endorsing it, it would have been a chiddush.
Right. What's the need for God to say that God endorsed it?
Because, look, let's say somebody before you comes up with an idea,
what
a chiddush.
No,
let's say Reb Chaim comes up with a chiddush in the Gemara, right? Now, you never see the Reb Chaim, right? But then you learn the Gemara and you come up with the Svara, right? So you say, look, you're mechaving to the Svara of Reb Chaim, right? That's a good Svara. But you can't, you weren't the first one. If you go out in the street, you know, just saying like, look, I have a chiddush here. People are going to say, you know, Reb Chaim said that 150 years before you. You're not the first person to come up with it. So you recognize that the idea was preceded. It came first, and, you know, you were mechaving to his svara, but he had the chiddush first, right? There's such a thing that, you know, so that's the Ramban, you could say the Ramban, that's what he means. He doesn't mean that the nature of korbanos is a haskama, is an endorsement of a prior institution, right? But rather, he means to say that the chiddush of the Torah wasn't such a chiddush because the concept had already been discovered by man at a prior date, right? Neder is another good example. Neder, Yaakov makes a neder, right? There was no mitzvah of nedarim, but Yaakov made a neder. Vayida Yaakov neder leimor, right? In Parshas Vayetze. So that was also that the institution of neder preceded Matan Torah. The making neder to Hashem, right? Taking a vow and in Shavuah, right? By Avraham to Eliezer, you see the idea of Shavuah, Yaakov to Yosef. To take him out, Vaishavalo, he swears to him. So the idea of Shvua and Neder, those ideas preceded their institutions that preceded Matan Torah, right? But then the Torah came along and made mitzvahs out of them.
It's a mitzvah Shvua.
Yeah, Rambam holds it's like the sixth mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvos. It's a very critical mitzvah according to the Rambam. Right, it's a vote to serve God through Shvua in his name.
What's the mitzvah?
Swearing in his name.
Okay.
You like to make a commitment.
A commitment. A yeah, Zikr has a whole shiur on it. A beautiful shiur.
Like to commit yourself to a carbon. Is that sure?
No, to swear in his name. To swear in God's name.
Just to be...
It's a method of avodah, I think, according to the Rambam.
Hmm.
That's falsely.
Yeah, you don't swear falsely.
Yeah.
That's bad. Very bad. Okay. So... Okay, so we have a nice chakira, and we'll hear the Ramban's explanation for the Ibn Ezra. And, you know, I didn't really think of this Chakira, because it's really interesting to learn, think about in the Ramban. Okay. And it's possible to read it into it. And, we'll hear the Ibn Ezra's, how he explains the Ibn Ezra. And then we can maybe come back and revisit it, or maybe not. We'll see. Okay, fine. So now I'm switching to, the Ramban does continue, basically gives the same explanation. I just like it a little bit more in the Ramban HaTorah. Okay, so I'm just gonna switch there, but, you know, like I said, you can keep looking in Tarshan Tamima, see if he misses anything. Okay. So it's a Perek Aleph Pasuk Tes in Vayikra. It's towards the middle, after he really goes after the Rambam. Okay. So he says like this. V'yosu roi lishmoa tam sh'omrim bahem. So it's better to listen to the reason that they say about them. Okay. And here he doesn't say who it is, but in the Tarshan Tamima, he quotes Ibn Ezra. And they still look at the Ben Ezra on Pasuk Aleph, which I did not do, so I'm sorry. Ki ba'avor she'maisi b'nei Adam nigmarim b'machshava uvedibor ubemaisa. Okay. Because a person's actions are completed through thought, machshava, dibor, speech, umaisa, and the actual physical act itself. Okay. Says Maisa Manigmarim with those three components. Machshava Dibar Maisa. Tziva Hashem, Ki Kasher Yechta Yavi Karban. So because of that, God commanded that when you sin, certain types of sins, you bring a karban. Yismuch Yadav Alav Keneged Maisa. So you rest your hands on the animal, which corresponds to an action. That's an action of smicha. The bailam of a karban do smicha on the karban. They put their full weight on the animal. V'yisvad b'fiv k'neged adibor. And every karban, there's a vidoy b'peh. Right? You see, you verbalize and you enunciate your sin.
By achatas, we're talking
about. Achatas and asham, even in ola.
Right, even in ola?
Ola. No, ola is for...
For chait? Ola's not for chait.
Yeah, it says v'nitzel ola chaper lov. By ola. It's...
I always thought that was kapara for the tzibor, not for the yachid.
No, but even a yachid brings an olah. V'nitzel chaper. In Parshas Vayikra, in the beginning. I think Rabban said, Rashi says, it's because it's for mitzvah's ase. Hmm. If you didn't do mitzvah's ase, so you bring a karbon. Karbon olah.
Oh, because you can't bring a chat.
You can't bring a chat. You can't bring an ashram, so you bring a karbon chatas. Right, if you do something wrong, you don't do something, you don't sleep in the sukkah.
Right.
So,
failing
you know.
To do something is not a chatas or an asham.
Right, but you're doing you still need kapara. So you're not chayv in the same way. But if you want kapara, you bring a.
There's a gap to fill.
Right, you bring an ola. Now a shlomim is a little different. Shlomim is the Rambam says you say divrei shevach.
Yeah, shlomim is for simcha.
Yeah, simcha. Correct. Now I don't know shlomim. I mean the Rambam says. In Toshem Tamima, he says, Shekol Karbanos Tzrichem Vidoy. I don't know how the Ramban would hold. I mean, this could be open Ramban somewhere. I haven't seen it. That the Shlomim Yer Mitzvad also. I don't know. The Ram says, Yerali, that you say Divrei Shevach on a Shlomim. So, I don't know. That it's a meaning, apparently it's not open, there's no open Chazal.
And the Shlomim were the Karban Chagigos with Shlomim. Right?
Yeah.
There's no Vidoy associated
I would think so. But in any event, let's assume, basically the whole discussion is mostly going to revolve around Chatas. Okay, most of this discussion.
So cool. Yeah, that's not fair, though.
No, it's not really fair, but this is what they're doing. So,
I mean, logic-wise.
Yes, but nevertheless, this is what we got. Okay, we can ask that question afterwards, but...
What's the question?
He's saying it's not for what Shlomo had. We're not going to explain Shlomo. We're not going to.
Oh, you mean that we're not going
to
do it?
It's not going to work out.
You can't have to put everything...
No.
Yeah, if you're trying to understand carbon, you have to include all the circumstances.
Yeah, but you don't
That's how you disprove something.
No, he's right. You can't start with every particular. The general most carbonos are for sin, chatas, asham, ola. Almost 3 out of 4 categories are for sins.
Yeah, so lay down your foundation.
Yeah, correct. Now, Shlomim is a little different. Shlomim is different. There's Ramban's talking about Toda, Karban Toda for a Nase. Okay, fine. There's different reasons. And the Ramban talks about those in their particular places. But most of the Karbanos we're going to discuss can be for sins. Okay, as you'll see. Okay, good. V'yizvad b'fiv k'neged adibor. Good. V'yisrof b'eish ha'karev ha'klayos. So now you burn in the fire every carbon, you burn the innards and the kidneys, amongst other things, other organs. Shehem kli hamachshava vataiva. Because the kidneys, okay, you'll be surprised to learn, those are the organs of thought, because you think with your kidneys. there might be psukim that might be saying this before you laugh. You know, Chazal definitely held it, Ramban definitely held it. Right?
You
okay.
That in second grade?
They didn't know that back in the Ramban's time.
No, the kidneys were definitely thought they were Kli Machshava.
Really?
And Taiva. Also,
they thought the filtering functions of your kidneys was for
no,
they had no idea what the kidneys actually did.
No, they thought like blood was your life source.
Right. Oh, hold on, we're going to get to that. Well, that's true. I mean, that actually is
true. No, but they thought it was like, that's where your nefesh lies.
Well, that's
true. And they went through like the 5 levels and they each lie in different body parts.
Okay, that might not be true.
Yeah, I know.
That might be a stretch.
Okay, but in any event, this is the, we'll see. I mean, the truth is, you don't, I wonder, and I think about it, nowadays we know the brain is really the Kli Machshava. So, I mean, I wonder if that's a problem, that you don't really put the brain on the Mizbeach, I don't think. Oh, you do. You do the head. The head goes on the Mizbeach.
Then why do you put the kidneys on?
Yeah.
See how that was.
Oh, no, I have an idea.
Well, hold on. Let's, before we give our own interpretation, let's live in the Ramban science. We'll try to get his idea, and then afterwards we'll see if we can rectify it. Okay? Which we probably won't get to. Okay? But, You know, the, just in terms of methodology, you have to live within the Rishon scientific framework till you pull out his idea. Then you come back to it, taking our science and see, can we still salvage his idea? And you know, you have to maybe tweak it a little bit with our science. Or no, does his idea go out bye-bye because it doesn't work out anymore with the facts? Okay, but in any event, you still might gain something from an idea, but in any event, methodologically, you definitely want to start with living in the Rishon's scientific worldview to derive what his concept is. Okay, so we're believing now that kidneys are kli machshava. Okay. Vekra'ayim keneged yada v'raglav, and the legs of the animal. That corresponds to a person's hands and feet. Ha'os and komlachto, that's what you do all your work with, hands and feet. Still, science maintains that. Nobody's argued on that. Yeah. The yizrak adam on mizbeach, keneged adam benafsho, and then you sprinkle the blood, you throw the blood on the mizbeach, which corresponds to the nefesh adam, right? Because adam benafsho, a person's, like the pasuk says, a person's life force is in the blood. Right, and his life is contingent on his blood. You guy loses his blood, he's not going to live very long. Right? All the good stuff that's, you know, your nutrients and comes from your blood. That's definitely a sense to that. And
that then, they knew. Yeah.
That they knew, and there's a sense to saying that even nowadays, and it's open second, so that we have no problem with. Kadesh Yachsho, now why are you doing this? Why is you creating a correspondence between these three aspects of the person and the Dibor, the Machshava, Dibor, Maisa, right, that's one thing. And then you're incorporating the hands and feet of a person who do his actions and the life of the person. Why? Kideshi Yachshav Adam Ba'asosa Koyla. So that person should think when he's doing all these actions, right, burning these things on his back, throwing the dam on his back. Kichata Lelokov Beguva Vanasha. Because he sinned to his God with his body and his soul. And it's befitting of him that really his blood should be spilled. V'yisarif gufo, and his body should be burnt. That's what he deserves. Lule chesed Hashem, shelakach mimenu temura v'kofar. Were not for the chesed of Hashem, the kindness of God, that he accepted in place of the person's body and soul, which really he deserves to die and his body to be burnt, and he should lose his body and soul for the chet. So God accepts in exchange a replacement where you can replace yourself with this animal, right? To redeem your life by substituting a temura, right? Carbon temura. Carbon temura is a type of carbon. It's an exchange. You're exchanging yourself for this animal and you're sacrificing this animal in place of yourself. And that's the chesed of Hashem that he accepts it, which is really the mammon of a person, because you realize it's expensive, right? So you're substituting this, and it's not just mammon, it's the afghan animal. I'll try to explain that in a second. And it's exchanged to the person himself, right? A carbon has that, this behemoth, this carbon. V'shiyeh damo tachas damo. And the blood of the animal should be in place of your own blood. Nefesh tachas nefesh. And the life of the animal in place of your life. V'rashi evar carbon keneged rashi evarav. Right, and the limbs of the animal corresponding in place of your ivarim. The hamanos, and you give certain gifts, certain portions, by a chatas, asham, shlamim to. A hachayos ben moria Torah, shispa'olav, so you give these to the kohanim, and the kohanim get very happy when they get nice pieces of meat from the person who sinned and brought this karban, and they daven for you. They write of achlo samasher kuvar b'hem, the achila, the kohanim eat, and the bialim have kapara, and Ramban throws in, how is it the kohanim eating? It's a nice idea by Ibn Ezra. Ramban is that, how is it the parts, the mitzvah saseh, is that the kohanim eat the parts of the animal, right? Certain parts that aren't burnt by chatas and asham, and the bialim, right? The guy, the sinner has kapara when the kohanim eat. So how is it that achilas kohanim creates kapara for the baal? So it's because the Kohanim eat the basar, and they appreciate this guy who gave them, who brought this carbon to the Mikdash, and he's feeding them, and they're mispalo on his behalf, that God should forgive him.
How does mispalo change anything?
Tefillah. Rachamim.
How does their tefillah change his sin status?
Rachamim. Tefillah's rachamim. I mean, how does tefillah work in general?
No, how does someone else's... When you do tefillah, you can...
You can be
Okay. It's a new reality. How could someone else's tefillah?
How can you accrue rachamim for someone else?
How can you be mispalel for somebody else? Yeah. We see Moshe did it for Miriam, right? Kel narafan Allah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different question. How does tefillah work? If the premise, I say this one thing, okay? I don't want to get too far off track. If the premise of your question is the only way tefillah works is that tefillah changes the person himself, and thereby, and it seems to be your premise of your question, and thereby he's forgiven, then you're right, it doesn't make any sense. How is a Kohanim davening going to really affect you? And doesn't, you're not davening, they're davening. Right, but that's an incorrect premise. That is a benefit of tefillah, and that is a factor, that is one thing that tefillah works, but tefillah fundamentally is rachamim. It's you're asking God to forgive you, even though you don't deserve it. And that is the whole premise of this Ramban. You don't really deserve to be spared. You really deserve to be going on them as bech. Your blood should be spilled. Your body should be burnt. You sinned against God. Even b'shogeg. This is karbanos are mostly for shogeg. You made a mistake. You ate the chalev by accident. But you really deserve to die for that because he's the melech. Right? You weren't an ones. You were negligent. You should have checked. Ha'ilo levdok v'lo baldok. You should have checked. You should have been toreach to make sure you didn't violate the decree of the king. But you weren't careful, you were negligent, you were lazy, and therefore you violated his decree, and you deserve to die for that. That's the Melech made a decree, and you were negligent, you're chayiv misa. But, and you have to recognize that's, you know, it's, one of the fundamental yesodos of Ramban here is that karbanos, and it's part of tefillah also, is that it brings to mind the person that you're really chayiv min hadin, and that you have to ask God for mercy and rachamim to forgive you. And he does. But you have to recognize that it's chesed, it's rachamim. Because you daven, because you bring the karban, now you deserve to live.
Yeah, coming to you.
That's wrong. That's the wrong idea of tefillah, the wrong idea of karban. You understand? It's not, you're not giving God anything. God doesn't need your tefillah, God doesn't need your karban. And fundamentally, yes, we're gonna get to the karban affects you, changes you. And the tefillah changes you, but underlying the whole thing has to be the recognition that it's the chesed of Hashem.
Maybe that's not even
what the ritzoi is.
Maybe
that you have it coming to you.
Yeah, right. That's
maybe
not
that's
correct.
Where the kohanim come in is because even with this korban, even with your tefillos, it's still not enough. And to illustrate that,
you still need tefillah.
You still need the kohanim's tefillah, meaning not yours.
Oh, that's a nice idea. That's a very good idea. You mean you could still think that the karban perfects the person, which we're going to get into. That's clearly what he's getting at with the three things.
Right.
We'll try to go through that a little bit. Correct. So the karban is definitely designed to try to perfect the person and change the person, but that's very good. But in addition to that, you have to recognize that even though you have changed, and that's what you're doing here, but that still doesn't make you no longer deserving of achiyav misa. Right, even though you do tshuva, you still deserve it because you transgressed, you violated the king's commandment. Doing tshuva is not going to undo that. It's not going to necessarily...
No, but Rambam says, Rambam,
right.
It's not fair. But
no, you can bring it.
He says, lafok l'shacher, you're a new guy, you're a new...
Oh, you can bring hilchos tshuva, everybody has a hilchos tshuva.
That's what I'm saying. So you're a new gavra now, that guy, you're right. The gavra that did that fake is chayv misa, but you're not that gavra anymore.
No,
I mean, that's a good question. You could say that, you could argue that. If you want to hold that, and there's a philosophical argument to be made there, still you would say that that's not necessarily what's going on with every time you bring a karban. That's a special kind of tshuva. That's the Rambam, I think it's in Perek Zion.
You say what the Rambam is referring to, or what?
No, I mean, that's where Hishini Hashem, a person changes his name.
Right.
Okay, that's a good question.
Maybe that's in a case where he could do complete tshuva.
Okay, it's...
Beiros that...
Right. That could be where it's only tshuva shlema. You could argue tshuva shlema, you don't deserve
it.
For
example, by misa, right? When you're chayav misa, you could do all the tshuva you want, you're still chayav misa.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And certainly for Beis Din.
Only the misa's mechaper, right.
Right. Well, and he's just saying it's for a king. If a king, if you do something wrong.
We see that a tshuva does isn't always.
You're Mechal Shabbos, right? The guy's Mechal Shabbos. So he was warned that Edom is chayav skila. So just because he does
tshuva,
they're still gonna kill him. Right, now you could say Beis Din Shamata, they can't tell whether he really does tshuva, so they have to, they have to kill. But I mean, I think simple pshat is if you do something, you violate the king's decree, and then you chayv misa, and it doesn't make a difference. Now it's true, if you do tshuva, God accepts the tshuva, right? If you do tshuva and you bring a karban, or if you do tshuva and you mispalo, right? Tshuva always has to precede it. Without tshuva, nothing works. Right? You can never have kapar without tshuva. But you have to do these actions. And but still, you have to recognize that that's still midas harachamim. It's God forgiving you. And when you're asking Him in tefillah, you're saying, even though I don't really deserve it, I deserve to die. And that's the idea of the carbon here, is I deserve to die for the sin. I was negligent. I violated the king's decree. Still, it's the chesed of Hashem that he accepts your tshuva, and he accepts your substitute and your recognition that really you deserve to die, and this is just chesed. And it's, that's what you're doing. You're asking him to forgive you. The Kohanim are asking to forgive you. And therefore he does. Okay, go ahead.
Why can't you reconcile the Rambam and say that you are Yotza through this korban / coin process? And the whole purpose of the coin process is to teach you that you really are deserving of death.
Yes.
So the Rambam wouldn't disagree. I mean, you are walking away being a new person.
No, he's Rami's reference is like a, I don't know if the Rav said it, but there's just certainly a type of a way to learn that concept, that why when you do tshuva do you no longer get punished? It's because you're a different person. You can't punish the new person. He didn't do the sin. He's really qualitatively a new person. But there's a way to learn that. I don't know if that's, you have to learn it that way. I'm not sure.
Like my field question, but on Karbanos?
Or on tshuva. He's asking on tshuva itself. And it's, look, every karban has to be preceded with tshuva, you know, or else it's not mechaper. I think Rambam definitely holds that. It's hard to know what to cross over, what crosses over between the two of them, what doesn't. It is a complicated business here. But I mean, the Ramban's definitely saying here that it's fundamentally based upon chesed. You know, and as answering your question, that tefillah is definitely rachamim. It's rachamim, it's not din. You're not saying because you're davening, now you deserve all these different things. Because you daven and you've changed yourself. That's not what you're doing. You're not being zochem and hadin.
Right. That at the end of the equation, it's still chazdei Hashem that we were put here, and that whatever we violated, we get to stay.
We get to stay, correct. And if you have requests, you make requests. You're saying, I don't deserve it, but you're relying on me, this arachamim, to give it to you. Okay, so why does it work? Because God is a merachim. If you ask him, he will answer you. If you, you know, if you ask honestly, if you ask sincerely, right, so then he answers you. But it's not, it's you don't deserve it, but it's chesed. He gives it to you. It's rachamim. Okay, so same thing here with the karban, same thing with the tefillah. But I like what your addition is, that it was funny. Why is he bringing in the mori hara? He's bringing in the kohanim, because it's a nice idea. It shows you that it's not just the person changing himself, but you also need midas rachamim to forgive the person.
Are we saying that when he brings the korban, he can't think that now he's forgiven?
No, you should think. You should definitely think. Look, I mean, once the...
I don't think that I deserve that now I'm all clear.
Right.
No. You should think that once the dam hits the Mizbeach, that's the ikar of the carbon, the Zrikas HaDam. Once the dam goes to Mizbeach, then you have Kapara. And that's one of the amazing things about the Mizbeach that we don't have nowadays. That you have tshuva, you do tshuva, you don't really know whether... Even if you do tshuva sincerely, you don't really know whether God accepts your tshuva or not. How do you know?
Well, by a korban was guaranteed.
By a korban it was guaranteed, correct.
It didn't depend on...
If you did tshuva, and you brought the korban, and the korban was brought properly, and the dam went on the mizbeach, you had kapara. And you knew that. That was the system, and it works out. And that's the amazing thing about the system of korbanos.
There's security there.
Yeah, there's a security that God forgave you, and you have kapara, and you're forgiven for the sin. You're not b'chayv and onesh. See, nowadays, we have tshuva, and tshuva, again, the Ram Hilchos tshuva here, the tshuva is mechaper al hakol, and that's a problem in Hilchos tshuva, it's a classic problem. As Ram says that when the Mikdash was around, you had the Mizbech to mechaper for you, you have Karbanos, you have the Seir Lazazel and Yom Kippur. But nowadays, we don't have all that, we just have tshuva, but tshuva is mechaper for everything. So the question is, and the Rambam earlier says all the Karbanos have to be preceded by tshuva in order for them to work. If you don't do tshuva, just bring a Karban, it doesn't work. So once you have to do tshuva anyway, and tshuva works for everything, so what are we lacking nowadays? Because tshuva is mechaper for everything. Who needs the karbanos? You have to do tshuva anyway. It's not going to get you out of tshuva, right? So one way to answer the problem is that if you do tshuva nowadays, you don't really know what. There's no guarantee you're going to be answered. Your tshuva has to be niskabel.
Why shouldn't it be answered?
Because it's rachamim. You can't...
And if you do
tshuva, the racham is not sufficient, because we're saying the carbon is racham anyway. Because there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that a person does tshuva that God's going to accept his. There's a kabbalah of tshuva. You're mispalo that God should mekabel your tshuva.
Well, it's not guaranteed you do tshuva that you'll be forgiven?
No, it's not guaranteed. It's kabbalah. There's no guarantee you daven, you're going to be answered.
Well, it's in that same kind of category?
You're right. You need. I mean, maybe that's Sarah Shimei tshuva, maybe the Saras Yemei Tshuva might be different. I'm not sure.
During the year, if I do like complete tshuva, I'll never do it again, blah, 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 I might not be forgiven.
Just go to square
rib. Right, yeah, no, you have to misfollow. Yeah, no, you don't, you know, there's no guarantee. That's why you're misfollowed, that God should be mekabel to receive your tshuva and forgive you and accept it. That's why, I mean, the Saras Yemei Tshuva are different. Right?
By that Saras Yemei, and on Yom Kippur, you know that if you do tshuva, it's guaranteed.
I don't think you even know in that case. I don't think you know. I'm not sure. We can look at the Rambam more in depth, but I think it's just easier. It's miskabel hiba yoser. If you look at the Rambam, he says that it's even though tshuva and tzedakah is great for the person on the Saras Yemei Tshuva, miskabel it's yafa hiba yoser and miskabel. Let's take a look at the Rambam before we. I just tell you the lashon. It's there's idea of a kabbalah just because if you do something wrong to somebody and you have to be forgiven. There's no guarantee necessarily. There's no guarantee.
Well, if you live from one Yom Kippur to the next, you know at least last year's was good.
No, apparently you don't.
That's not bad. It's not helping for next year.
I agree. You were given a reprieve.
I think you don't know. That's clear. I think you don't know for Yom Kippur. It's here, not guaranteed.
It's in Perek Beis Lachavav. He says, Abi Shetshuva Tzaka Yafa Olam, Baseres Yom Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, He Yafa Biyoser, Miyad He Miskabelas. Okay, so Miyani Miskabelis on the Saras Yemei Tshuva.
Right.
But during the rest of the year, there's no halacha of Miyani Miskabelis.
Right. That's somewhere bound up in God's nature is a greater time for us.
I wouldn't say in God's nature, but I would say in the way
he made
the world.
If
Rebbe said it, then it's right. Yeah. Okay, fine.
That's how I always understand.
Okay,
it,
that's fine.
Bound up somewhere in God's realm, you know.
No, well, it's I think what Rebbe said was...
Uh-oh.
Wasn't ever good.
No,
that
Okay, no.
Go for it.
No, just don't say God's nature. I'm just saying it's because it's in time.
Yeah,
it's the way he relates to us in time.
When God created
the world,
he
had
to
manifest.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I left that out.
Okay, good.
Right,
that
this time.
Much better. Much better.
He did say
that. That's what Rebbe said.
We're totally.
Yeah, okay, go. Okay, okay, but you see, there's a din of Kabbalah. Okay, we're getting a little bit off track, but
I just want to throw us off track. One, where in all of this are we going to get into Ritzoy later?
Ritzoy.
How that fits into all of this?
Well, that's what Ritzoy is. Ritzoy is kapara. Ritzoy is when God forgives you for the whole thing. But when the dam hits the mizbech, you have Ritzoy. That's the system. There's a guarantee in the system that if you do tshuva and you bring the karbon and the karbon is brought properly. And the dam goes on his bech that you have ritzoy.
How do you know that?
The Torah tells it to you.
Oh, it says that you're forgiven?
Yeah. Venir tzal l'chaper
lo. Supposedly nefilas apayim is ritzoy, right?
What's
it's feel? Trying to bring about. That's the kiyum of tefillah. Kiyum is you ask ritzay Hashem. You ask for a ritzoy.
Right.
Ritzoy means that God should be pleased with you. You should find favor. You should come back. His hashkacha should relate to you again the way it used to. He should forgive you for the sins. He should, you know, have a new relationship with him that you should have a different Ashkacha, and your sins should be forgiven. It shouldn't be a block between you and him. So that's Ritzoy includes all those ideas. So when Karban is a system that if you do it, it occurs. That's the guarantee, the Torah's guarantee. That's the greatness of Mizbeach. What Klal Yisrael is blessed with the Mizbeach, that we have this method of guaranteeing that we reinstate a relationship with the Creator, and He forgives us for our sin, and we're no longer going to be punished for them. But without the Mizbech, you don't have that anymore. You don't have that. You can do tshuva, and you pray to God that your sins are forgiven. You're not going to be punished. But there's no real guarantee. Right? For example, the Ram says...
What kind of system is that?
Well?
What kind of system is that? Like, God isn't like an emotional guy. He's not like, oh, today I had a bad day. I'm not going to forgive you. Or now.
Alright, I know you see it's bothering you. He'll forgive you. Don't worry about it. He'll forgive you. He will.
It's not bothering me. I don't care if
you forgive
me or not.
You do. Admit it, you do.
No, I don't understand. What does it mean that, one day he'll accept and the other day he doesn't?
No. No, I'm not saying that.
I don't know.
That's
just
ridiculous.
It's just that
you cannot know.
You cannot know whether he'll accept your tefillah or whether he'll accept your tshuva.
Why wouldn't he accept tshuva? If it's the same tshuva, no.
How can you ask that question?
No,
right. You don't know. You don't know.
Tshuva is you do this and another guy does the exact same tshuva. Why is this exact same thing? why is this guy and this and the other guy
and
not?
Why would he treat you any differently?
Yeah, there has to be, you'd have to say there's right. like an innate God. It can't
correct.
Be in the
correct.
People.
Correct. I mean, all things being equal, for you, everything between you and him is exactly the same. You're right. It'd be
then
arbitrary.
It would
it'd be arbitrary.
But things are not all equal.
Right,
a lot
right
of,
correct. But there's a lot of factors.
A lot of hidden factors.
Correct.
A lot.
Correct.
Only God knows those factors.
Well, it, well then
that's
you clearly didn't do a complete shuvah.
No,
that's all he's saying
no.
is that you don't know the factors.
Correct. There might be other factors.
To weigh the equation, to balance the equation.
For example.
You don't know the factors.
For example, the death of the person might rectify, like by Nadav and Aviyu. Right? Their death created a Kiddush Hashem, right? They had a sin. And Bekrovai HaKadosh, right? Ba'al Pnei Kol HaMechabed. So there's a Kiddush Hashem that results from Midas Adin punishing the person. Right? So it could be that even though, you know, maybe you've done Shuva, but the way they're to be rectified is going to be by your Misa that created Kiddush Hashem. So God doesn't have to accept your Shuva, and he can let the Midas Adin, where, you know, do its thing and they'll create a Kiddush Hashem. He's not obligated to. He might, but he doesn't have to. For the other guy, it might be that his death won't create a Kiddush Hashem, but for you it will. So there's other factors, okay? But if you bring the karbon, right, and you
but
do the tshuva...
That, it's not that these two people are exactly equal.
Not everything...
There has to be something different.
Yes, yes,
okay.
I agree with that. I'm agreeing with that, correct. It's not totally arbitrary and whimsical. Okay? Okay, fine. So let me just... This is one element we've got to as good is the idea of the Midas Chesed and the Midas of Rachamim, that you have to recognize that. Okay, I just want to, before we just finish off the Ramban, is pretty much done, is what's the idea of these three things? Of Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa. Okay, and why does the Chet have to, why does the Karbon have to reflect these three different things? What's it trying to do?
Because those are the stages in which you sin. Which leads to sin.
Okay.
First you think about it. And you're slightly embarrassed, depressed, and then you start talking about it, so then you feel, oh, it's accepted by others, and then you actually do it.
Right.
We see people who talk about suicide never commit suicide.
Yeah, they're just talkers. Big talkers.
No,
yeah.
No, but originally, like with pedophiles, like, they used to, like, go, oh.
Hi, Gvorcha.
Suicide was, you know, I thought that was a little strange. Okay, we're gonna leave that. I'll give my idea. So, okay, so no, so the what the carbon is trying to do for the person is, like we said, is that it is rachamim, but it's also predicated on tshuva. Every carbon has to have tshuva element. So it's trying to engage the entire personality, and it's trying to just like the sin. When a person sins, his whole personality, from his thought to the way he, his subconscious thought, to the way he verbalizes it and expresses it in logical formulated words, and then his body when he acts it out and he ingrains in himself through action, it becomes a part of who he is through his action. So you want to uproot, that the person becomes changed through the sin. And the entirety of the person sins against God, not just the body, which not just the mind, but the entire person. So the carbon, the idea of the carbon is to try to show the person that his entire personality has been corrupted by sin, and it all really deserves to be burnt away and destroyed. And you want the entire personality to change. So you take something, really, behema seems to be the highest level of carbon, it would seem. And because psychologically people,
yeah,
person identifies,
yeah, the greatest identification,
right, with
greatest
an
empathy.
With an animal,
right.
Right.
Right,
that's why you see there's tzar bali chayim,
the carbon would,
right,
be a human,
the,
yeah,
best,
there's,
oh,
a,
yeah,
there's,
that,
a problem,
that was
kind
of carbon.
No, that
there's
is
a small problem with that,
there's,
though,
a problem, yeah,
yeah.
But there, you know, there's that key, it's like there's,
yeah,
an idea there, okay,
no, yeah, I wasn't saying that Hashem really wants human flesh.
Okay, good. Good. No, but there's the idea that the person develops the psychological identification, his whole personality with the animal, and through the destruction of the animal, he realizes that his whole personality became corrupted with sin. And it wasn't just that you violated a rule and now you're chayv misa. But it's you, your sin against your creator involved your entire personality, your mind, your dibor, your action. That's what was engaged in the sin, and the natural consequence for that should be is that it doesn't deserve to exist. All those different parts. It's not just an arbitrary rule, but you've been changed by the sin. And therefore that's why you don't deserve to die, because of your involvement in the sin. And the karban is, there's that other idea that you, bottom line is, even if you manage to do tshuva and to change that, you still need the chesed of Hashem, but there's both aspects. Karban is not just chesed, it also is trying to engage the person in the three different facets of his existence so that he realizes that his whole personality has been affected by the sin and he tries to change that and pull away from it and not just look at it as an isolated action but realize everything is involved in that. So the karban, the behema, and I mincha, I guess, to a lesser degree, presumably because it's living, plants are living, there's some sort of identification, I think. The Rav has this in Ethical Man, okay, I'm not just crazy. But you don't see, you know, but crazy
trio
here. Well, yeah, I don't know, but okay. But certainly in a behemoth, there's a certain identification the person has with the animal, and that's really the method through which the karban works. It gets the person to realize his sin, to realize that what the consequences of the sin would be, which is one of the fundamental ideas it's trying to get, besides that you're chayiv misa, you have to realize what the consequences of sin would have been. That the consequence of sin would have been your own destruction. And you have to see that, and you have to internalize that concept, that without karban, without God's kapara, what would have happened to you? What sin would have done to you? In order to really pull away from sin, you have to think through. This idea is not just karban, it's a basic idea of tshuva, on changing yourself. Is that you have to think through when you do a sin you want to stop, you have to see what are the consequences that sin would have brought me to. And it polluted the entire personality, and then the body, and then the mind, and all those things would have been totally destroyed. And you kind of look at the behemoth, what happened to the behemoth is what should have happened to you were not for God's chesed of letting you retreat, letting you pull out, letting you change yourself, and not have to suffer those consequences. So it's the I guess the two main ideas, it would seem to me, of the two or three main ideas of the karban, is to recognize that the sin pervades the body, that the necessity of recognizing the consequences of what sin would have brought upon the person, and then recognizing what the reason why you've escaped that fate, that the happens to the animal instead of you, is because of the chesed of Hashem, that he lets you place a substitute in place of that animal. And those ideas, you know, it could be there's more here, but those basic ideas, this is the Ibn Ezra's idea of the ideas that go through, you know, a person's head of how a karban works and the benefits of what, you know, the karban does to achieve kapar for the person. Okay? Mm-hmm. Any questions on that before we just finish? Yeah?
Not a question. I'll okay.
So let me just finish the last line and I'll just show you the Ramban doesn't like it. But, so he's like this. Karban tamid, bavor shlo yinatzu l'rabi mechato tamid. Okay, and the carbon tamid that you brought every day, and then, right, why do you bring carbon tamid every single day? So carbon tamid is brought on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And I think Ibn Ezra brings this as one of his rayas, and Torah Shem Tamir Ramban brings it down. The carbon tamid was funded through the shkalim, right? The shkalim that are brought every year. And in Kisisa, right? Kisisa Rosh Rosh Ben Yisrael, so it's each, Venasna Ish Kofar Nafsho. Right, so you give a pretty, it's open pasuk, right? You give the shekel, which is a kofar nefesh, which redeems your soul, your life of every Jew, right? And then with that money, they brought the karbanos, so the karban tamid, right? There's three shkalim, but one of them is for the karban tamid, the karbanos, three the musafim, that they brought on behalf of the tzibor. Because why? Because the tzibor is never, you're never going to have the tzibor not sinning. Every day, there's always going to be people in the tzibor who sin, and you're always going to need kapar for the tzibor. And that's part of the idea of the karban tamid, which nowadays mincha shachar is in place of, is the idea of recognizing that the tzibur always needs kapara, the tzibur always sins, and we need a constant source of kapara to redeem us.
And the tamid works because you're not involved in that. According to the Ramban, it shouldn't work.
Why? The tzibur is. You always the mamados.
Where's the...
The mamados.
Where are you realizing, hey, this is really should be me in that?
No, because you send, the Kleisel sends, there's Kohan Levim Yisraelim. The Mamadas were representatives.
I don't see why it should work.
Because you know what Mamadas are?
A
representative? The Rambam says it, that a person in Hilchos, I think it's Maizer Karbanos, is that a person, you can't have Kapar unless the person is there, right? The person needs to be represented. But you need a balakarbon. So how does the tzibur have kapara? So it's through mamados, is that the groups of Yisraelim, every week, right? Every week there's a different, with the groups of the Kohanim, but they alternate weeks. There's groups of Yisraelim. They would fast. They would read from parshas and things in the Torah. Right, and they were the representatives. They represent the tzibor.
The key point of seeing that this should be me doing the tshuva.
No, that's the tzibor. You know this. This is the tzibor knows this. You have to understand that this is what's good. These are the representatives of the tzibor, and we know that this is what's going on. Right. You have this idea. You understand. You know. You learn Torah. You see this is what's going on. And there's people in Yerushalayim who are representing the Klal Yisrael, and they're the Bali HaKarbon, and they're the for the Karbon tzibor to mechaper on Klal Yisrael. And Karbon Tamid. Okay. Good. So let me just end off the Ramban's last line. He says, he's more elaborate there. He says, "Ve'elu advarim miskablim." So these ideas, the Ibn Ezra, they can be accepted. They're acceptable. As opposed to the Rambam, which he totally trashed beforehand. Okay, we're going to get to that next week. Moshchin halev kedivrei agada. And they draw the heart like agada. Like, you know, like midrashim. Nice things you tell kids to get them interested. Okay, so it's a backhanded insult, okay?
It's
yes. So he likes it. He likes it because it's a pleasing idea, and it's a good tam, and it's beneficial, but it's not the right idea. Okay, so I'll read it to you in the Torah Shem Tamima, where he's elaborate, he's clear. Because here you might say he's just saying it's a nice thing, it draws the mind, it's a beautiful idea, and we love it, wonderful. And it sounds like it's a praise. But if you see in Torah Shem Tamima, he says, "Mikol makom, Zetam na'ev aroy lekablo." So this reason of Ben Ezra, it's appropriate, it's nice, it's appropriate to listen. Ve'emesu sheyesh lemitzvos haTorah to'alios merubos, gufanios niros viruchanios. And it's true that the mitzvos of Torah have benefits, many benefits to the body and that are apparent, and to spiritual benefits to the person's soul. Aval hamaylos shehifrit bekarbanos. But the great levels of how Karbanos that he discussed before, right? Avim Yitzchak and Yaakov, Lasad Lavo, the central focus of the Torah, Noach, right? It's the Hashra Shechina, right? Shayadehim Shechina Shor Lolom B'Yisrael, which he keeps coming back to this point, that through Karbanos, you bring about Hashra Shechina, V'sheyamakom HaNivchar Ba'olam HaShafel Hu Makom HaKarbanos, and the place that was chosen in this world, right? Yushalayim and the Makom HaMikdash is the Makom of Karbanos, that the Makom where the Shechina rests in this world, the Kodesh Dashim and in the Mikdash is also the Makom where Karbanos are brought. Conceivably, they could have been two separate places. You could have a place where you brought Karbanos. You could have a place where the Shechina was. But those places are at the same place. The Makom HaKarbanos is the Makom where the Shechina, right? V'hu Kisei Hashem Baretz. And the throne of God on the, right, the Aron is the Kisei Hashem. Represents the Kisei Hashem, right? The Aron. So the Aron where God sits, Yeshem Hashem Yoshev Ben HaKruvim, that God sits on the Kruvim by the Aron, the Shechina. So that's, right, and then the Makom of the Karbanos. Eilu Advarim Tzrichim Tam Acher. So the Ibn Ezra's answer is not going to suffice to explain how Karbanos bring about Hashra Shechina, why the Makom Mikdash is so significant, why it's the Kisei Hashem Ba'aretz is in the Makom of Karbanos. So Ibn Ezra's idea is a nice idea, and definitely Ramban says, that's one of the ideas and benefits that emerges from Karbanos, is this idea teaches you about sin, and the person sees he should have really consequences of sin, shall to his own demise, we're not for the Chasdei Hashem. It's all beautiful, and it's a nice idea, and it's true, and it's acceptable, as opposed to the Rambam's idea, which is totally unacceptable to him. Chalila, God forbid you should believe the Rambam. But the Ibn Ezra he can accept. Nevertheless, Ramban says that it doesn't really suffice to explain the centrality and the significance of Karbanos in throughout the Torah and the Nevi'im and Nevi'im. And that you have to get his answer, which nobody understands. I shouldn't say it.
So his whole answer was Ibn Ezra.
His whole answer was the Ibn Ezra.
What is it about the Rambam that he rejects so much?
That's next week.
No, I mean just any...
It's horrific. Horrific, awful, Chalila.
I'll make sure and do it.
Yeah, okay, fine. So that's for next week. Okay, so, but, I mean...
A cliffhanger.
Correct. So I'm not going to... I mean, how the Ramban explains it, that's, you know, he's very elaborate in... he's not so elaborate in Torah Shem Tamima. He's much more elaborate in Vayikra. But, you know, it's one of his Derech Emes, and it's... He's a little bit verbose. He's not just...
And we really haven't dug down that deep into Karbanos. He hasn't really...
No. Correct.
...given up that many Yesodos.
Correct.
Which he said he was going to do in the beginning of...
He's not going to do that. No.
That was so cute.
Correct. He does his own... Correct.
You know, he just wants you to read my book.
No, you're not going to get it. He has a little bit of a habit where he really rips on somebody. You know, the Rambam. He does also the Rambam by the Shechina. Here's the Rambam, Baruch Vod Hashem, whatever. He really like rips it on the Rambam, how he learns Unkelus, Rambam learns Unkelus is always trying to anthropomorphisms, that's why Unkelus, the whole Derech of Unkelus. Rambam brings 50 riyas, that's not the case. That's the wrong way to learn Unkelus, and then he gives his own explanation, which is Derech Emes, and nobody understands, you know? So he really, it's unbelievable. Yeah. you can't, Rambam is totally wrong, I'll sit here. Here's my answer, and nobody understands what he's talking about. Okay, so that's his method, and you know, you can appreciate the Rambam for what he is. We like his questions, we like the Ibn Ezra, and somebody else, better people than us, can go into his answer.
You have to see with the